Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, hello, welcome to this new episode. This one is really, really special because it's the first one. It's the first one, right? Totally in English. I'm Mexican, so I excuse myself if I make a mistake. I will make a mistake. But it's fine. It's just a conversation. And basically, this podcast is to talk about Tijuana, the experience in Tijuana, people from Tijuana, and we love to expose our culture. We already spoke before a little bit.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here, Cassidy. Yes. We're here with Cassidy Bay.
Yes.
And, well, you live here, but What are you from?
I'm originally from Kansas, which is the middle of the United States. Very, very far away from Tijuana.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's your story like? Did you grow up there, and until when? Because it's common in the States that you're 17 or 18 when you go to the university, and then you just move out from your parents' house.
Yeah. So that's what happened. So I grew up in, we moved around a little bit when I was younger, but for the most part, I grew up in Kansas. And then when I graduated high school, I moved out. I mean, I would still go home for Christmas and break and whatnot, but I moved to college up in Omaha, Nebraska, which was like 4 hours away from my parents. Mm-hmm. And I spent 4 years in university and met my husband. And then we moved to Iowa, where he's originally from. So, So I haven't lived with my parents since I was 18 years old.
Yeah. And how is it? Was it difficult for you, like, to live your parents' house and then just move to, was it very different from your hometown?
Yeah, so Omaha is a really big city in Nebraska, and I grew up in a town of 4,000 people, so it was very, very small. But I think the mentality, especially in the Midwest and in America, is that you graduate and you go to college, and normally you move out. And so because everyone else does it, it's just kind of the norm.
Okay.
And so, of course, I was sad. I love my parents, and I definitely missed them, but it's kind of like the rite of passage, I guess, in the States, is like you move out and go to university.
Okay.
And not everyone does that,
uh-huh,
but it's fairly typical. So it didn't feel like weird or hard. So
it wasn't like hard for you?
No.
Because I mean, you're 18.
Yeah.
So it's at least it's really different from Mexico that we keep living in your parents' house, like for, I don't know, until you're 30.
Until you get married, maybe? Or
exactly. Mm-hmm. You're not 30, or you just get married and then you just go. Yeah. Really, really different.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's just a cultural thing or because it's a family thing or...
Yeah, it might be cultural. Also, it's going to sound bad, I'm exposing my family here, but so my brother went to college and then he decided it wasn't for him.
Okay.
So he moved back in with my parents, which is fairly, I mean, that would be very typical in Mexico and in Tijuana, from what I know. But my parents charged him rent. So he paid a little bit each month. Nothing like huge. But again, I think it's that mentality of like teaching responsibility and stuff like that.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. So, but I think it's very different from the culture in Tijuana.
And then what happened? He went again to study something?
No. So he decided that college wasn't for him.
Okay.
And so then he now works, he still's in the same town, but he found an apartment. And so he lives like 2 minutes away from my parents. And he works at this place and he loves it. So he just works in town.
Maybe he didn't want to leave his hometown.
Right, yeah.
It's not for everybody.
Right, exactly.
Because I don't picture myself like living my family, my friends, everything that I do, my city.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be really difficult for me.
Yeah.
To just live. I like traveling, but I picture myself always like going back to Tijuana.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's really pretty.
It's what you know. Yeah.
Exactly. And how different it is, Tijuana, than your hometown?
How
not Mexico, because Mexico is really big, but so Tijuana. Far you know Tijuana for what?
A year and a half.
A year and a half.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing for me is so silly. I miss grass, like green,
green in general.
Yeah, just green. And where I grew up, it's very like there's farms and there's like lots of grass and trees, and it rains and it's very beautiful. And right now in Tijuana, it's been raining, so it's more green, but it's like for 3 weeks and then it's all brown again.
And that's a lot,
yeah.
For Tijuana.
Yeah. So I sometimes miss the, like, I don't know,
that the feeling. Nature.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun to have that and grow up with that.
But, oh, and but about like city and people, culture.
Yeah. So
differences
the,
that you've noticed.
Yeah. So the town I grew up in, it's hard because it was so small. So anytime you left your house, you would run into people you know. So it didn't matter. You went to the grocery store, you knew the person who was checking you out. You knew the, or like, you knew the person that was like, what's the word? Who was like bagging your groceries for you and stuff.
Okay.
Like you always... You just knew each other.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, my science teacher went to my church, and my dentist was married to, you know, like, everyone knew each other. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's very different in Tijuana, because it's a huge city, and there's people from all over Mexico, all over different countries, and so you kind of know your community, but I guess maybe once you get out of that, it's like, it's just a huge city, so... Yeah.
Yeah, you said before, I mean, because I wanted to record this part, because you said in your hometown, they don't even like lock doors or cars.
Yeah, so I won't say where it's at. Otherwise, everyone's going to go there. No, just kidding. no, but we didn't have hardly any like crime or anything like that. Like my dad had a vehicle that the key was stuck in the ignition for like probably 5 years, and he just left the vehicle unlocked with the key stuck in the ignition, and no one ever took anything out of the vehicle. No one ever stole the vehicle. We lock our house at night, but during the day, like, it just was open. So yeah. Wow. Which is very, very different from Tijuana, where you have your gates, everything's locked. Even in the vehicle, I'm always careful, like making sure I lock it.
Yes,
there's that in the back of your mind. It's always there.
Yes. So. And was it difficult for you to change that?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I need to lock the car, the door.
Because in Omaha, when it's a bigger city, so it's different. And so I needed to start locking my car. And so I would forget all the time to lock my car doors.
And something happened?
No, nothing happened, but... My friends were like, you have to lock your car door. You can't just leave your car open.
Oh.
So it took me a little bit, but I eventually... Now I'm the opposite. Now I'm like, I've got to lock... I lock everything. Yeah.
So. Okay. And you mentioned the crime. What are the stereotypes that you had before about Mexico? Were they true, false?
Well, the food is definitely different from what I thought.
Did you have expectations about food?
Yeah, I mean, I thought a taco was like ground beef and like cheese and lettuce. And like a dry taco shell. I really didn't like Mexican food before moving here. I thought it was kind of dry, and like, I was like, oh, this isn't very good. But it was Midwest Mexican food that like, it wasn't authentic. Like, so... I love the food here. It's so good. I should say that. I love Mexican food now. But yeah, the food was very different. I'm trying to think of like people-wise. I don't know. The town I grew up in was very like white. Like there wasn't very many people from out different places. But I don't think that made me like afraid or standoffish, because I think I've always been very curious about the world and like love to travel, and so I think it's just hard when you don't know what you don't know. You just kind of, I don't know, you assume things, but nothing I didn't assume anything bad. It's just like a lot of question marks, like, why do they do it that way, or what's okay. happening here? Yeah, just a lot of curiosity, I guess. So, yeah, because even our host mom, we lived with the host family in Tijuana for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she said by then, she was like, you're always asking why. Why do you do this way? Why do you do that way? And so, yeah, I'm just very curious because I want to find out. Before
what kind of why?
Oh, everything. Like, I don't know. Like, any question. They're probably like a little kid, almost. You know how little kids are like, why do you do it this way? Or what, you know. So, that was me.
I mean, that's super cool because, I mean, Mexico doesn't have a great reputation around the world. They think it's really dangerous, especially Tijuana was one of the most dangerous city. But, I don't know, something happened to you, has happened to you, like, crime related to crime.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I also just so like we had like a break-in happen.
Okay.
We've had a vehicle stolen. So it's unfortunate, but I also feel like that could happen in any big city in the United States, and I think some of the more like extreme crime is happening, but I mean, this is an assumption. But between like gangs and stuff like that, or between
yeah, exactly. And depends on where you.
Yeah, and I'm not a part of that, and so maybe there's a chance that I could be in a situation where it's like bad timing, but because I'm not a part of what's happening, I don't know. I'm just more aware. I keep a lookout, but I'm not. What's the word? I don't like think the worst of everybody I see. Like I try not to live that way, but. Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but for the most part, I just try and, I don't know, yeah, I think the best of people. I know that anybody can do something bad, but...
Yes, anywhere, right?
Anywhere, yeah, and so I just try and, yeah, like I said, be more aware and...
Yeah, like, lock the door.
Yeah, yeah. But, and I also tried to, like, especially in our neighborhood, like, get to know our neighbors, and, like, there's a fruit stand, and I go there all the time, and so I asked, like, the lady who works there, like, tried to get to know her. Just so that way I have people who are, I don't know, I stand out.
Uh-huh.
So then it's like, okay, people know me, and maybe they can also kind of look out for me a little bit. Like, oh, there's the gringa. She doesn't know what she's doing. But, yeah.
Okay. And why did you, I mean, I know the answer. Yes. But why did you decide to move here?
To Tijuana. Yes. Yeah. So my husband and I, we work for, or before, when we lived in the States, we worked for a church, and through the connection there, we found out about a ministry down here in Tijuana, and so they were looking for people to be the directors of this ministry, and so we didn't know if we should do it or not, so we prayed about it, and we applied and went through the whole, like, job application, and they ended up hiring us. So here we are.
Wow.
And I think for lots of people in the States, they think it's only like a short term, like, oh, you'll be there for like 2 years and then you'll move back, you know? But Spencer and I, like, I'm pregnant and we're okay with like building a family here and we want to like live in Tijuana until, I don't know, if something else changes. But for now, this is where we're at. So yeah, it's just like if we were to get a job in Washington or in Oregon, we would just, you'd stay there until either you get another opportunity or something changes. But yeah,
that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, that you could choose like any city, any part of the world, and then you feel comfortable living here in Tijuana, but you're not from Tijuana.
Yeah. Yeah, but also we feel very passionately about this ministry that we work for, and so it's a good I don't know. Yeah, we feel like this is where we need to be, so.
And what are the activities that you do in the ministry?
Yeah, so the main thing that the ministry does is we build small structures for people in the Tijuana area. They have an application process, and we get to, I feel like it's more partnering than it is just, like, giving out free stuff. Like, okay. We like to actually, like, partner with the family and feel like we're coming alongside of them instead of just, like, I think Americans sometimes like to come in and just, like, do really good work and then just, like, leave and not think about it again.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we want to, like, actually get to know the families. And we like have different requirements for them too, that like we want them to like be a part of this little house.
Like building, you're not just building a house, you're building like a community, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We want to, like, we'll go back and we'll build a second little room for them after we build a first one. We ask that they like put down their own floor, that way they're like kind of putting some of their own in English we say like they have some skin in the game.
Okay.
So like they I don't know how to explain it. like it has more meaning to them.
Yes.
Because it's not just like this one and done thing.
Because they've made the effort.
Yes, they also
by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we also, because it could be really easy for us to come in with like power tools and like just do everything really quick. But we require that our groups like do things by hand, and then they eat lunch together, and we ask them to like stay after the house is finished and like get to know the family a little bit. So yeah, it's really neat to be able to help kind of facilitate that and mm-hmm. and. I don't know. It's uncomfortable, I think, for some people from the States because they've never done it before.
Yeah.
And it's maybe a little uncomfortable.
And it's physical work.
Yeah. And it's maybe a little uncomfortable for the family from Tijuana because here you have this group of, I mean, they're very, very grateful for the home. But also, I'm sure that's hard to, like, be in need and have to ask and then have these all these people come into this space that's going to be yours, you know? So we try to be like sensitive and work with the families. So it's definitely a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I really love that part of it.
Did you know, cause I don't know if I asked before, like, did you know exactly why the ministry chose Tijuana?
So there was a pastor up in San Diego who came down and was working, with different churches in Tijuana. And so he just kind of started coming down here, and they built a first home for a lady who had a special needs daughter.
Okay.
And so they built her a home, and then more churches in the States were interested in doing something like that. And so then they would just like come across and build the homes. And now we actually have like a physical location and and get to do that. So, and we also teach, so, like, our main, like, thing that we, like, mm-hmm. physically do is we build the homes.
Okay.
But then in the mornings when we have groups, we teach about missions. We talk about working cross-culturally. And we try and kind of force the groups from America to go home changed. Like,
okay.
You're seeing a lot of poverty that you don't see up in the States. And so how is that going to affect you when you go home? Like, mm-hmm. are you just going to forget about it? Or are you going to do something about the poverty that you're seeing spiritually and physically?
Mm-hmm. You're going to take, like, the impact to,
mm-hmm.
okay, yeah, you're building something here in Mexico, but mm-hmm. you're going to go back and change maybe your community there.
Yeah, yeah.
Raising your kids or church or mm-hmm. whatever, right?
Yeah,
because cultural things are really different.
Mm-hmm.
From U.S. and Mexico, what are the things that you think they're very, very different?
Good
and bad. It's fine.
Yeah. So I think in the States, there's like an excess of just like things, like especially for our groups, like when they go home, it's like they're going back to these huge homes. They have everything at their fingertips. Like, yeah, you have enough, more than enough, pretty much always. And that's not true for every family in the States, but that's fairly typical that you're taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of poverty in Tijuana. And I think because we work for the ministry, like, we're in much closer contact with that poverty.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm sure you can live in Tijuana and probably just the same if you have money, maybe not even think about.
Yeah, exactly. But there are so many different
types
of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that culturally too, it's like in the States you go out and you buy a big home, even if you like take out a loan and different things like that. But here in Tijuana, what I've noticed, and again, I'm still learning, so it's only been a year and a half, but it sounds like people buy land and then they build little by little.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, they invest money and time into that property. That doesn't happen in the States. You wouldn't.
It's just like you have a big project and then you finish, and when it's done, you move in.
Yeah. And it takes, like, 6 months, and, like, you want the whole thing finished. Yeah. Like, you go in.
6 months is not that.
Yeah, you build your home, you move into it, or you build, you buy one that's already made for you, you know. But no one is ever just like buying land and just owning it until they can afford to put maybe like one room, and then you work and you afford to
the
put
second one and then the second third one.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in the States ever. Well, maybe it does, but not that I've ever heard of. So that's a huge, it's very different. So,
and how it's been for you living in Tijuana? Like all the changes that you had to...
Yeah. It's been really good. So because we lived with that host family for the first 4 months, it really opened my eyes to see Tijuana better. Of like, when I'm out driving or on the street and I see a family or a guy or a mom with her kids, mm-hmm. I have better context for like, oh, maybe they're going to the Superhéroes. Or okay. Maybe they're going to work. Like,
okay.
I kind of know, like, okay, what's the rhythm? What's the pattern of life here? And so I'm very thankful for the host family because they, like, super opened my eyes to the culture here. And I'm still learning, but it's good.
Did you know Spanish before
arriving here? A little bit. Okay. I took some in high school, and then I lived in Spain for, like, 5 months in college. But the Spanish is so different. So, yeah. So I had like a good foundation and then...
You start from zero again.
Yeah. But then taking classes and living with the family like kind of solidified.
Okay.
But it just depends on... Even now, some conversations I'm like, oh yeah. Like I know Spanish. And other conversations I'm like, I have no idea. We were just talking about. I'm totally guessing.
And why do you think it's that? Because of your level or because Spanish is really difficult or because we speak really fast or...
I think it's a combination. Yeah. I think some people are easier to talk to in Spanish.
Okay.
Like some people I talk to and it's like they are very compassionate and so they speak slower or they're willing to explain things or like if we're in a big group, they'll maybe lean over and like... give me some context and like help me. That's been huge when we have people who are sensitive to like our language level. And then also just our language level. I mean, we're just learning, you know, we're not proficient, we're not like super good. I don't know, you could speak better to where we're at than I can. So yeah,
it's been difficult learning Spanish. Would you say it's difficult? It's been like almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? With the experience.
Yes. The first like 4 months was the best because we were living with this family. And so we were always in Spanish. So it was easier to see the patterns of the language and like pick up little words or phrases. But now our ministry is like a lot in English. Mm. And so we're constantly like some days are completely in Spanish and that's exhausting then. And some days are completely in English, and we're not getting any practice. So it's just kind of hard to juggle that now. Okay. So I would say it's gotten hard. I think maybe it's gotten harder because we have to be a lot more dedicated, which is why we wanted to take classes.
Yes. So. And do you translate, like you're thinking in English, and then you translate into Spanish? Or sometimes you don't, sometimes you do.
Probably a mix. It just kind of depends on how comfortable I feel about the topic. Like when I first get to know somebody, it's very easy to talk to them because that's like the first part of language that you learn. Like, where are you from?
Okay.
What do you do?
Basic like, things.
Yeah. Like just what do you think about Tijuana? Like those are very typical. I'm like used to answering those. So mm-hmm. I can do that really quickly. It's like in random contexts on the street where it's like somebody's coming out and I'm like, I have no idea what they're doing. Like, there's no context. And I'm like, okay. So then I'm having to do a little bit more translating. So yeah. Have you ever played this a little random? Have you ever played the game catchphrase or something like that where you have a word and you have to describe it using other words?
I love this game.
Okay.
I use it all the time in English and Spanish.
Yeah. I feel like that's what I do a lot in Spanish where I don't know a word. So then I just talk my way around it.
I do that in English when I just forget a word mm-hmm. or I just don't know the word. Yeah. I explain the whole thing around the word and people say, okay, it's this. Okay, that.
Yes. Yeah. So that's like something I've gotten very good at doing.
It's really useful because mm-hmm. it's not like math. Mm-hmm. Everything's like exact. It's mm-hmm. the number and that's it.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's super cool about languages. Mm-hmm. You just play with the words.
And yeah.
Being understood. And that's yeah. pretty much communication.
And I think you have to be okay with just sounding dumb sometimes. Like, I just have to be okay. Like, okay, I'm talking and I probably sound like a 3-year-old. But if I walk away getting what I need.
Exactly.
It's a success for the day.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's been, I think I told you during class that Mexican culture, we're really like ashamed sometimes mm-hmm. to be vulnerable.
Mm.
And then when we are learning English, we're too afraid
mm.
to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Or, oh no, the pronunciation, it's really Mexican. It's like, who cares? Yeah. You are speaking another language. Mm-hmm. That's really challenging.
Yeah.
But it's very different when they're like learning Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
You're not ashamed. You're just.
I think because, you at least living in Tijuana, like, you just kind of have to go for it. Otherwise, I don't know, we'd be lost all the time. So it's kind of the sink or swim mentality. But, and there's always people who aren't patient. Uh-huh. I think in Mexico, that's probably true. And in the States, I know that's true. There's people who just aren't patient. And then when you find people that are patient, those are the people to cling to, to like help and help you navigate. So,
and related to like Spanish, mm-hmm. learning Spanish, is there a topic that it's been difficult? Like, I don't know, conjugations or pronunciation? Or...
I think conjugations, well, like we're learning so kind of people right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel very comfortable in present tense and future tense. And then like we have pretty good past tense,
mm-hmm.
but, I always think of it as like you have your word like hablar.
Okay.
And then it's like there's this road and it has all of these other tiny little trails that go off of it. And
yeah.
you have to pick which trail you're going to go down to conjugate it correctly. And then they're irregular and yeah. So we're figuring it out. But
conjugation is you can say it's.
Yeah, it's just kind of a headache to. Because then you also have to pick the right, like, am I speaking? Am I somebody out? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the subject? Like,
yes, because we drop the pronoun, so you just
yeah
don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, like, who is,
mm-hmm. especially,
depends on the verb.
Yeah, exactly. And
we just don't use the yo, nosotros.
Mm-hmm.
No. Inside the verb.
Yeah. And so sometimes, too, like, if somebody's, which doesn't happen a ton, but they'll refer to me in usted. But then I don't know if they're talking about somebody else or if they're talking to me.
Oh, yeah, because it's the third person.
Yes. So I get kind of confused. I'm like, okay, are we referencing somebody else now? Or are you like
or
trying
you
to come
to me in a formal way?
Yeah, so that can be kind of confusing. Okay. And I know that I sometimes probably confuse people when I do that too. Like,
okay.
If I don't reference, I don't know. It can get easy to get lost in conversation. Like, okay, who are we talking about now?
That's interesting because I never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's meaning something.
Yeah. You can pick up on the subject.
We know that we use the formal thing at the restaurant or mm-hmm. the bank or
yeah.
those formal contexts, but you have to learn it mm-hmm. since you are not from here.
Yeah.
And then you just don't know.
Yeah. And also the church we go to, there's a lot of, like, older people that we're interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try and use usted with
yes.
them. And so that can also be, because then I'm normally using informal.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, how do I do formal again? So it's hard to switch back and forth. Yeah.
Mm.
So lots of practice.
But it's okay. I mean, I think. That we don't feel weird if mm. you use formal or informal because we know and we understand that you don't use Spanish as
mm-hmm.
your main language. Yeah. So it's like, okay, she's talking in informal, it's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
She's learning how to conjugate.
Yeah.
So yeah. it's no problem,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I just do my best. So.
Good. And what do you think are the benefits that living in the border?
Oh,
not just Mexico or Tijuana, but
at the border specifically.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to be able to cross and get like there's certain groceries or food that we really like. Like we'll have people back from Kansas or Iowa that are like, "What are the foods you miss?" And I'm like,
Nothing.
nothing, because I can cross the border and get it if I want it. So yeah,
Wow.
that's kind of nice to have the best of both worlds. I get really good Mexican food, and then I can also get American food if I want. Yeah, and I think it's just fun to live in a place with so many, it's such a mix. Like, even in San Diego, like, there's a very big Hispanic population, but there's also a huge Asian population. And so it's fun to be able to, like, go different places and get to know San Diego and Tijuana. And yeah, it's a very unique place. There's probably not very many places like it. So.
It's interesting. Maybe that's the why you're here in Tijuana. I mean, because it's really interesting that you come from a really small place and then you're just curious about everything. Tijuana, it's your place, I think.
I guess so.
And probably that's why you don't feel like uncomfortable, like picturing yourself here in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. That's really cool. I mean, I feel happy that you're not from here, like living here.
Yeah, because most people come to Tijuana to cross the border into the States, but we did the opposite.
And because it's convenient as
Yeah,
well.
it's super convenient. Lots of people work, but we have. I'm so thankful though. We have the Sentry card, so it's
Oh
we can
yeah.
cross very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Well,
It's
not really
actually
20.
gotten worse recently. I don't know, because now everything's more open, I think, in Tijuana. Aren't we in green? Or I don't know, with COVID, I think there's more people out and about. The traffic has been horrible recently.
The traffic, yes, but crossing it's faster
Oh,
than
really?
before.
Oh, I
It's
don't
just kind of
know.
like getting bad at the same time.
Yeah, I don't cross. We probably right now we cross once a week because we have with me being pregnant, we're doing a birth class up in the States. But normally we cross maybe once a month. Like it's not a regular. We don't like to. Gas is so expensive, and
Yeah,
it's
especially
just.
right now.
And then it's like an hour in the car, and so yeah, I'd rather just stay down here and do what we need. So.
And related to that, you are, because you said you take classes in the States, but you're planning to give birth in
Yeah.
which site?
I'm hoping to give birth down in Tijuana.
Okay.
That's all the plan right now, is to stay down here.
And why?
Well, partially, I think, again, maybe the opposite of, or the same reason that lots of people cross to go into San Diego
Okay.
is that I think it would be really nice for our daughter to have dual citizenship. I think that that would be very cool. And with our
That
job,
part.
yeah, with our job and everything we're doing, crossing to the States before I give birth, because, you know, I would not want to cross in the middle of
No.
labor.
In the middle, like in the contraction.
Right. So we'd probably cross early, and then we'd probably need to stay after because there's lots of appointments. And with our job and what we do, it's just not possible. We have to be down at the ministry. We have an internship program with just graduated high school and college students that we're responsible for. And so we obviously have help, especially with going to be having a baby here soon. So we have support, but it's just not something we want to do, is to spend a month up in San Diego.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, it's something you cannot even.
Yeah, and I love our house, and so I don't want to have to stay like in an Airbnb or a hotel or something. I would much rather just be down here.
Yeah, because so. Spencer, you like run or you coordinate mm-hmm. the ministry, so it would be
it's a long time.
Super challenging to you both going mm-hmm. to the States for a month.
Yeah, it's a lot. So instead, we're planning on doing everything down here. We're using a midwife, which I think is a little bit different, but I like it too because she's willing to come to our house and like do some visits after, so uh-huh. that gives us more, you know, availability to keep, Spencer will keep working, I won't, but then he doesn't have to worry about me driving or getting there mm-hmm. or anything like that, so I think it's gonna work out really well. I hope it is.
It's a good option because mm-hmm. here I think that part of even parenting and giving birth, like there isn't like much information. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then it's really common to have a C-section mm-hmm. here, so it's kind of difficult to mm-hmm. to find a place or a person where you feel comfortable giving birth.
Yeah, we had to do lots of research, but I feel very good about.
Was it difficult to find the person?
Yes and no.
Like, try to find a bilingual person.
Yeah. So, thankfully, we have some other, like, connections here in Tijuana of other, like, people from the States that live here. So, they were able to give us lots of, like, options and different stuff like that. But I think it was hard at first to make the decision to stay in Tijuana. Mm-hmm. I think I just felt very nervous about the unknowns of being here. But once we had the first meeting with the midwife and like mm-hmm. talked to her, I was like, okay, like this is gonna be good. Because we did originally have a doctor up in the States, and he was nice, like, you know, like he was
like a doctor.
He was a doctor from the United States. It was something I was comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I, you know, the culture and the language, I didn't have to have it, you know, there's no question mark about it. And that felt very secure. But then once we got to meet the midwife, I was like, oh, okay, this will be good. Like
this is the one.
Yeah. So she speaks English, and then also she's obviously speaks Spanish. So it's been good. We've gotten to learn some Spanish that way as well.
So you attend the appointments, and it's in English or Spanish?
It's in English.
Okay.
But she'll like say lots of words in Spanish.
Oh.
So it's kind of a mix. So, and some of her, like, even we did like the intake or whatever, and all of that was in Spanish because her paperwork is in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, and I think I'm like, okay, cool, we know enough Spanish to like navigate that and to do doctor's appointments. And Spencer had an eye appointment the other week, and he was able to go and do that with like no problem. So I'm like, okay, our Spanish is,
it's good,
we can get around.
I know because I know both of mm-hmm. you, and I know you both have good level. I mean, okay. Maybe you don't understand some things.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, so far,
mm-hmm.
you can survive here.
Yeah, we can survive.
And what do you think are the benefits of being bilingual? I mean, for you, for Spencer, and then for the baby.
General. Yeah. I think just in general, knowing two languages, like, there's a whole bunch of people that I never would have been able to know if I didn't know Spanish,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of neat to be able to say, like, okay, these people are in my life because I know Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And without Spanish, I would never talk to them because it wouldn't be possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat. I love that part. I also just think knowing another language, it's not really something that's done in America, but I think in other countries throughout the world, it's very typical. And so I think there's a benefit to, I don't know, makes you uncomfortable, pushes you to learn and try new things. And I think more people should be doing things like that to broaden their world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to just only know what you know. But I think learning a new language forces you to ask questions and to feel uncomfortable. And I think those are good things.
And how was your experience? Because you said that you went to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Is it very different from Mexico? I mean, the language, it's the same language, but mm-hmm. different pronunciation, and also culture is different.
Yeah, so it's very European. So that was very different. I'm trying, it's been a little bit now since I've been in Spain. The food, same thing. Like, I didn't know what to expect with the food because it's like, I don't, Spain, like, I don't know.
It's but very... why did you choose Spanish?
Because
there are, like, many different options.
Yeah, I don't know why I chose Spanish. That was just one of the program options.
Okay.
And it just kind of happened. There was other options I could have done, but yes, yeah. Spain just, and Spanish, it, I think it partially because I already took Spanish in high school.
Okay.
Like, okay, I should just build. This makes sense. Like, why would I go take French?
If I already started
Spanish. If I already started Spanish, yeah. Which I'm really thankful I've just stuck with Spanish because...
Now you're here.
Yeah, now I'm here. I don't know how people learn 3, 4, or 5 languages. It's crazy.
The second or the third one helps you with a new one.
Oh, does it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll stick with Spanish for now.
Yeah, because if you speak, like, Spanish... You can learn French, or Italian, Portuguese. They're like kind of the same. Yeah. Not the same, but they share similarities.
Okay.
Just really good because it helps you to understand the other the other one.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't like to learn a third one?
I mean, I think I would like to, but I just don't think it's possible right now with our job and with where we're at in Spanish. I want to be really good at Spanish. That's the other thing. I'm a perfectionist.
Oh.
And so it feels hard to start learning another language when I feel like I haven't mastered the first.
Well, you never stop learning.
I know. So that's where I think I would have to just eventually be like, okay, it's just time.
Even when you feel comfortable speaking Spanish, well, it happens to me in English. I feel comfortable. But there's so many words that I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we're in class and sometimes I'm like, okay, I really don't know that word.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm teaching, but at the same time, I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
So I always continue.
Yeah. Learning. Yeah. I think it's just hard with being a perfectionist. I have to kind of let that go, I guess. But
yes.
For right now, Spanish is our main, that's what we're focused on. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Related to the ministry, is there something like... difficult because I mean you're really young and then sometimes you have to deal with a lot of like younger people.
Yeah
It's something like that it's been really challenging about it.
I think so. Any job that's new that you're learning, there's that period where you feel very like uncertain. I think that happens with pretty much, I mean, you know, the first 3 months maybe or a few weeks, you're like, oh, like, even if it's
did you study for this position, something related?
Yeah, so we studied intercultural studies, which was like how to live cross-culturally. So that's helped with like living in Tijuana. But for the ministry itself, a lot of it is just we're learning from the past, the other directors that have been doing the job for 18 years.
18 years, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like huge help to us. And then also we just learn by experience. Like, I think we've had to just become okay with messing up. You know, you try and figure out how to, like, even we have lots of people who will come and ask for money at our ministry.
Oh.
And learning what's the best way to handle that. Because if everyone just knows, oh, if you go there, they'll just give you money.
Oh.
We don't want to just do that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because then there could be people who don't maybe actually need help, or I don't know. We want to be helping where the need really is.
Yes.
So that's something we've had to learn, how to decipher and how to navigate. And it's a learning experience. We don't do it perfectly, and we'll keep learning how to.
What are your favorite activities?
Because
you will always have things that you don't enjoy.
Yeah.
But what are your favorite things?
My favorite things. I really like to read. I've tried to read a little bit more in Spanish, which has been good. Spencer and I love to take time away from the ministry and like go on dates and we go to Las Playas and we have a little coffee shop and restaurant that we go to. So that's kind of nice because then we don't have to be at the ministry all the time.
Because you said that you have the place, and then you work there, and then the we house live... is, like, right next to it.
Yeah, so, yeah, we live, like, right there. So, yeah, we have to learn how to kind of separate.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you have people coming, like I said, like, people coming asking for money, or the interns live next door, and it's like 24/7. And so, every, you know, it's nice every once in a while to get away and spend some time together. So that's probably my favorite thing to do right now.
And do you have a routine? Like, okay, we have to work from, I don't know, 9 to 3, or you don't have like
No, it's not.
Like schedule. No.
Never the same. It's never the same. Yeah. Yeah. It changes week to week, day to day. Sometimes we think we'll have an evening off and then we have to work. So then I'll take the morning off. So okay. I try and compensate so that way I'm not always tired.
So. Yeah. And what are the activities that you know that you do now because you cannot like build the house
right now? The things that I do at the ministry. So the things that I do at the ministry, I work in the office and I coordinate with the groups that come down. So I'm calling, asking how many people they're bringing, making sure that all the payments are figured out. Anything that like office work, I don't know, paperwork, like tax stuff. Yeah, I'm having to learn that. That's been a huge learning curve because that wasn't originally what we were hired for. I'm filling in the office, and so yeah, I'm learning.
And you're learning a lot.
Yeah, I'm learning Spanish, I'm learning Tijuana, I'm learning the job, I'm learning about taxes in the state. So yeah. Yeah. I feel like sometimes my brain is like jam-packed with all the things I'm learning. And I'm gonna be a mom soon.
Yes. So I'm learning. You have to take the time to recharge. And how many houses do you build like every year, every season? How does it work?
Yeah, so this in the spring we're gonna build 26.
Okay.
And then I don't know.
Spring.
Yeah, so just from now until May, we'll build 26 homes. Like little, I mean, they're little.
Cortitas. Okay, but still.
Mm-hmm. And then in the summer, oh man, I don't even know how many we build in the summer. Maybe like 60? Because we have groups every week that come down. Because in the summertime, that's
when every week you have new groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stay for a week?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's during the summer is when like lots of schools in the states have off. So then the kids aren't in school. So then they'll come down with their youth group and they'll build these homes to help us. Yeah.
So new group every week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's good. We get to meet a lot of people and it's been fun.
What is the most wonderful experience so far?
Oh man, in Tijuana?
Yeah, I mean, doing what you do now.
Yeah.
In the industry.
I think probably, last summer there was a family that we built for multiple times because they all, like, the parents lived near by their kids. And so that was really fun because we, like, really got to know them. We went over to their area many days in a row, and actually got to, like, get to know them. Yeah. So that was probably, I don't know, the best part about it of like, normally we build and we try and spend time with the family, but sometimes you don't ever see the family again. And so that's hard, but getting to go back and build a second, and then we did like 3 or 4 in that area. So we really got to know the family. And so that was cool to have that relationship. So.
And this is the reason why you chose to dedicate your life to something like this?
Yeah, so Spencer and I, like, we both grew up going to church, and that's a very big part of our life, and we just felt like there was a need at the ministry, and we, like I said, we prayed about it, and we really felt like God was telling us that this is where we should be, and so...
Did you know something about Tijuana before applying to...
A little bit. I mean, Mexico, I mean, I don't know. Not like a ton.
No, not much.
Like, you know, you hear bad things or you hear whatever, but it wasn't even really about Tijuana. It wasn't about the place.
Okay.
It was more about the need of the ministry and the needs of the people. It could have been anywhere and we would have been like, okay, this is what it is and this is what it is. We'll go. Like, so, yeah.
That's so challenging. Like I told you in the beginning, like, picture myself like living my city would be really hard. Mm-hmm. What would you say or recommend to a person who wants to volunteer or to start like an association or something related to help people? What would you recommend to a person?
Just that it's, you have to know like your purpose of why you're doing it, because it is going to be hard. Like, I talk about Tijuana and my love for it, and like, yeah, there's been hard things that have happened, but they haven't kept us from, like, it's not like we're packing up and leaving. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because we know our purpose here in Tijuana and why we're supposed to be here. And so then that's what keeps us driven to keep going despite the bumps in the road. Because there's going to be, I mean, even if we were in the States, there would be bumps in the road. And so I think just having that perspective of like, okay, this is our purpose. We believe in it really strongly. And mm-hmm. so... yeah, there may be topes, but
yeah,
who cares? I mean, not who cares, but like, we'll meet them as they come. We'll go over.
We will overcome eventually. Yeah. Like, there's always mm-hmm. nothing's perfect, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where do you think you learned this? Like, from who or where?
I think
the way you see.
Yeah, life. I think it's because of growing up in the church. I think a big part of our purpose is wanting to serve God with
literally our... growing up since you were a kid.
Yeah, so my dad is, he's a pastor.
Okay.
So I grew up going to church every Sunday, and yeah, and so I just, you heard about there's needs that need to be met spiritually and physically, mm-hmm. and so, yeah, I didn't want to just sit in an office for the rest of my life, you know, or there's other jobs out there that are just as meaningful, but I knew I wanted to do something with more...
Meaning
and purpose. And so I think it could be easy to lose sight of that meaning and purpose when like the hard things come, but we just try and keep Spencer and I encouraging each other, like, nope, this is why we're here. And so, and these are the good things, like we have a fun Spanish teacher, we have a family that loves us, like a host family,
yeah,
we have other friends, we've gotten to know other people in the community. And so like, yeah, like, does it suck when bad things potentially happen? Yeah, it's annoying, but we know our purpose and we can see the good even when we're having to deal with the annoying things.
That's really, really cute.
Yeah.
I remember that it was an exercise to work on subjective, mm-hmm. but I asked you to tell me what you found in your partner.
Mm.
So if it's really, really hard to move to a different place, mm-hmm. especially to do something like this and to find someone with your purpose, what would you say to a man or a woman looking for a partner?
Like,
what characteristics would you say they're important?
Yeah.
Because it's really, really hard to find a partner in life,
mm-hmm.
and that respects you and respect what you do and then supports you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
But what are the things that you would say, okay, I think Spencer has this?
I think the first thing is like I have to adjust my own expectations. Like, Spencer and I argue, we have problems. We're like
any couple.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have to go into a relationship knowing that it's not going to be perfect, but finding somebody who's willing to put the work in and who's willing, like, I went into our relationship knowing, like, okay, Spencer's going to change. Like, that's just a part of life. And I'm going to change. And so...
Or not.
Or I'm going to stay very solidified. But, like, you do. You mm-hmm. So trying to find... I was looking for somebody who I knew was, like, teachable, and who is willing to learn from their mistakes and like own them, because you're gonna make mistakes in life, mm-hmm. especially in relationships. Like, and so a huge thing for Spencer and I is like saying we're sorry and like coming back together after we've had an argument, like that. I mean, he's like the person I spend the most time with now, because mm-hmm. we work together, we live together, we take Spanish class together, we do a lot. All the time together. And so, yeah, we have to know how to forgive one another and how to be gracious and kind, and it takes work for sure. So,
okay.
Yeah. That's what I looked for. Somebody teachable, somebody who is
willing to learn
and forgive. Yeah. So,
That's so pretty.
Yeah. I miss him. He's gone right now.
Oh.
So.
What are the expectations then that you have to raise your kid in Mexico, where you feel that it's a really different culture? Mm-hmm. Would you feel afraid that she's going to be different or... What are your expectations?
Yeah, she probably will kind of always feel out of place, like, because she'll probably never feel completely at home in Tijuana, because she's going to be very, I mean, you know, Spencer and I, we are both blonde and
black. Yeah, especially physically.
Yeah, we just stand out. So hopefully her accent will be really good in Spanish, and people won't be able to tell over the phone or whatever. But yeah, so she'll probably, I mean, she's going to feel out of place in Mexico, and she's going to feel out of place in the States, because she won't really
be from
either.
Exactly. From.
Yeah. She'll be from both and from neither at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I think just trying to teach her about, like, I don't know, at least for Spencer and I, like, home, this is really cheesy, but like home is like what you make it. And so we're working on making a home here in Tijuana. And so, yeah, sometimes we feel like really out of place, but that doesn't need to like define our experience here. That's just part of it. And so there's also really good parts. And so I think teaching her the same things of like, yeah, you may feel out of place at school, or you may feel like you did something silly or messed up, but that doesn't define who you are. Like, there's other things that are more important about where you live. So...
Exactly, because in the, I don't know, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I felt like the way I like to have a family or raise my kids, it's a little bit different from the culture that I'm like, exposed to. I sometimes complain about traffic, how people think, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I started to think on moving out or going to a country where, I don't know, it's very similar to how I think. But then I started to feel like the way you say, like, it's not where you are exactly. You can just take the good things and also learn from the bad things. And then you just make your own home. And then I think it's even better. Like, if you don't enjoy completely where you are, I mean, the way I see it, raising a kid is like putting something good out. I mean, you try your best, but...
Yeah, yeah. And it's never...
You're going to change a little bit your community. In a small impact, but maybe this person is going to impact in, I don't know, 10 people. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think, too, just realizing, at least for me, like, there's never going to be a perfect place...
Exactly.
...to raise our daughter. There just won't be. And so, yeah, just... being aware of the positives and negatives of where we live and giving her the tools that she needs to navigate there. And I think I'm very hopeful for, she's going to hopefully be bilingual and have.
Well, definitely she will.
I really, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She will grow up in Mexico
and
then she will have you.
Yeah. For the English.
So yeah, she's going to have the two languages, like, really solid and great pronunciation of both. At least English and Spanish.
Yeah.
I think from where it's what we give to our kids, like, the best shot.
Yeah.
Like, giving the tools, like you said, the way they navigate. Maybe they won't stay here.
Yeah.
They will go, but just our job is to just give the tools.
Yeah. And there's lots of opportunities when you know two languages.
Yes. So. Like, opens up another world.
And
another culture and a lot of people. So it's, I don't know. I mean, if you're thinking about studying another language, just do it. It really doesn't matter, like, which one. I think it, like, opens up.
I think finding a community to help you learn has been super important. Because I think just taking classes...
it's not enough
but like to immerse yourself in a community and whatnot. So and there's more and more that's available in the States. There's more people who've moved to the States, and again, it's being willing to be uncomfortable and say, okay, I don't know, but I'm gonna go to this little Mexican corner store in my town that I've never been to before and practice my Spanish because, yeah. And the times when we've done that in the States, the people are like, oh my gosh, you speak Spanish?
Yes. And here's the opposite.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, you're speaking English really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've had some fun, like, and there's people that we have gotten to meet that we never would have met if we didn't know Spanish. So I'm very thankful for that. We had a lady we were looking for homemade tortillas when we were back up in the States because I refuse to buy store-bought tortillas now. So we were looking for more like homemade type tortillas. And so we went into this little store that I've never been into before in the town my grandparents live in. And we were speaking in Spanish with the people that were working there. And they were like, how do you guys know Spanish? And we were like, well, we live in Tijuana. They didn't believe us.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Eventually they did. And then one of the ladies invited us over. She was like, you should come. I'll make you homemade tortillas.
We were like, yes.
So we didn't pick up on it because we had dinner with our family that night. That's what we were trying to get the tortillas for. But
okay.
Yeah. But I was like, okay. I think she was serious. Like, I don't think she was just offering to be nice. Like, she was kind of like, come over. Like, I will make you tortillas. And I was like, okay. Next time.
Yeah, that's that's something about Mexicans. We love showing like, oh, this is Mexican food. These are Mexican cans. And this is like, we love doing that.
Yeah. And I don't think that happens very often in this town. Like, I think it's very separate. Like, there's a community of people that have immigrated to this town. Mm-hmm. And then there's everyone who are like the farmers that grew up there. And there's no overlapping. So the fact that we even walked into the store to buy tortillas was like, what are they? Are they lost? but I like to be able to do that. It's super fun. And, you know,
there's confused people.
And confused people. And also it's a whole community that, you know, they're just living two separate worlds in the same town.
Yes.
And so
it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like I've been in Las Vegas, for example.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a big community of Mexicans and they just don't they don't know each other.
Yeah.
I mean it's good that you find like your community, but it's also good like you are in a different country. Just go and learn English. Go and
or learn Spanish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because the town that my grandparents are in, it's very German. Like a lot of the people there, like their history is like very German. So there's lots of like types of food that are like very traditional. And then also you have all of these people who are Hispanic and they have all of their traditional foods. I'm like, how cool would it be to like be able to exchange that?
Yes.
And to share with one another. But they never do. So I think it's a missed opportunity.
Maybe you can try.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they meet you.
Yeah. All right, I guess we're moving back up to South Dakota.
Maybe for Christmas.
Yeah.
Great. 11. Then to wrap up the episode.
Yeah.
What is something that you like? Because you said many things during the episode. What do you like about Mexican culture?
Okay. I think just how people first the culture is. In America, everything is very like scheduled and like you have your meeting and then you have the next thing and like everyone's always on time. We gotta get used to it. But the reason why people, I don't think sometimes people are on time because they're having a conversation with somebody else or they're, you know, like, it's not because they're trying to be disrespectful. They're very people first, you know? And so, that'll happen where even this morning, I felt bad because I was meeting with a friend and she was like talking. And I was like, I have this appointment. I'm American, right? So I'm like, I have an appointment at 9:30. but I think it would be very typical to, you just extend, you keep talking to your friend and then you show up a little bit late to your next thing. Cause who you're with is important. And so I think that's something I'm learning to be better at.
That's a really nice way to see why we are late.
I told you I try to think the best of people.
Yeah, I know.
So, but yeah. And I'm sure there's other reasons why people are late, but there is that people first mentality of like being with your family. Like even when kids stay living with their parents after they graduate high school, like there is that I don't know, it's very family oriented. Mm-hmm. Or I know lots of like older people move back in with their kids once they can no longer take care of themselves, versus in the States, those people just go into a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, it's very relational and family and friend oriented. And America's sometimes a little bit more about what I have on my calendar than about who I'm actually with. So, yeah, I think that's one of the things I like most about being here.
Cool.
So, yeah.
I really like the way you see life and the way you see your culture, because you're going to also part of it. Mm-hmm. It's yours now. So
a little bit for a year and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can claim it yet, but I love living here. So.
Well, you picture yourself living here for a year. So
yeah.
When you accept that, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. My husband drives like he grew up here, and I get really mad at him for driving that way. So he like cuts people off.
Well, he's from here now.
Yeah, he cuts the line. I'm like, you can't do stuff like that. So yeah. Not to cross into the States, but he'll cut people off other places, and I'm like, you shouldn't do that. So, yeah.
It happens sometimes. Sometimes you have to do it because they don't, like, let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he does most of the driving, so that's okay.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you for this episode. Of course, I won't say it's going to be the first one or the last one because, like, we don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
The time available that we'll have, but... I will definitely would like to have you here again.
Of course. Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
But maybe the other episode could be in Spanish.
Okay. With Spencer. He can come and do
that. Yes. That would be really cool.
Yeah. We can do it in Spanish. Ooh. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The last thing. What is like the process if someone wants to volunteer to go to come do...
To work at our... To help with our ministry? Man, so, like, a lot of it is...
General thing.
Yeah, so a lot of it is churches from the States.
Okay.
So that's harder to... Yeah, if somebody from Tijuana wanted to, I don't know. We haven't had any interest of people from Tijuana wanting to come and work with us.
Okay.
So then maybe that's
another
opportunity. Yeah, it's maybe a door that we should be opening. So right now it's people from the States come, but it's a good idea.
Okay, then we will figure it out. We have
we'll have an answer for you later.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for your time, for your thoughts, for the way you see life. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So, what's next? Well, I will see you or listen to you, or you will listen to me in the next episode. Have an excellent day and see you next time.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.